Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Moon.
You're up now. Sorry, that was.
Hey. There we go. Hey, yeah. Good afternoon.
There we go.
Russ had a brain fart. Charm. Third time's the charm here.
Yeah. Big old brain fart.
Now how are we all doing? Yeah, I'm down in Eugene. So
down in the huge.
There is an element of, at some point, S may or may not hit the fan, and sometimes it does. So we're here though. We got it out of the way early.
There we go, yeah. Now you're up on the YouTubes as well.
Literally seconds into the show, we got it out of the way.
We're good. A radio professional.
That's right.
I'm babe.
That's right. How we all doing, fellers?
Doing good.
Yeah?
I may or may not have gone to sleep at 3:15.
Is that what happens when the Blazers win?
I got home at about 12:30.
That's still a big gap.
Yeah, I could not sleep. I just could not just... sitting there, and normally my process is get home, find some kind of way to unwind, whether it's watch TV, hop on the Xbox, just let the brain go to mush for a little bit, and I just wasn't happening. I'm just wide-eyed, like, okay, this is not helping.
Playing Xbox seems like it'd be more stimulating than make your brain go to mush and go to sleep.
I literally just turn into a zombie.
Oh.
I'll only play one of two things. I'll either throw on some Call of Duty or some 2K. Just very, like, mindless, just...
Hey, I got a question about 2K.
What you got?
I got a question about 2K. I don't play 2K, but I've been seeing this, for whatever reason, my algorithm is popping up. The 2K, I don't know what it is. Like, you create a player's street ball? Is that... Am I accurate in this at some point?
So yeah, there's the what you call my career, which you create a player and you and in that create a player there's a like a virtual city and there's street ball courts or there's the organized like rec or pro am.
And so is this all on the online like playing against other folks type thing?
Indeed.
And, you literally will go up to people and like say, hey, you want to play a game or something like that?
Hey, you want to play, man?
Hey,
sir. And on those courts, you've got the 1v1s, 2v2s, 3v3s. And like on the outside of the court, there's like a little circle that you go stand on. Like basically, I've got next.
Okay.
And it's just, and you just, winner stays on.
All right. So now that we have that explained,
there you go.
My algorithm is popping up that there are a few characters in there wildly racist.
Oh, you saw that one.
I've seen the
chest tattoo?
No. Yeah, well, that
one. What did I miss?
There's a white guy who's got a chest tat with the N-word across his chest. And then another one, it was like another guy who... The best way I can describe what his character in the game looks like is Riff Raff, the rapper.
Well, that's a very normal thing, to be totally honest. So here's the thing.
But somebody's like, this guy is really racist.
Yeah, no, so...
Do not play him.
The
And this, what? Did the, was it the swastika that gave it away?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just don't
yes,
know.
Yes, like, you're not wrong. Like, so here's the thing. Like,
whoa.
The and this is
so
nothing,
crazy.
This is nothing new. The anonymity of the internet allows idiots to be the biggest idiots, and which means you get people that just go the furthest with stuff. And like, in the OG like Xbox Live days, and this is, to be honest, this is the era that I grew up in. We grew up in. It was some of the most vile, racist, hate-filled trash talk you could ever find in your entire life.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, it separated the men from the boys kind of stuff. Like, it, like your, there. This isn't like a political divide of any sort. These, like, you just had people that had anonymity for the first time, and to be totally honest, most people, when they have that, the first thing they do is go very stupid. And that those chat rooms, not even chat rooms, like the lobbies, like between games or on kill cams in Call of Duty, like people will talk about like Call of Duty 4. That was like the first like holy crap AAA multiplayer game where like that whole thing started.
Well, yeah. Halo. I remember when Halo
was the same way.
Yeah. Halo 2 came out. Yeah. I remember vividly. Remember sitting there with teammates and. Just being like, just hearing the N-word getting yelled over and over, and the response was, "Dude, are you 10?"
Exactly.
And they're like, "I'm 11." And they just dropped the N-word, and it was like, "Whoa!" Yeah.
What possess? Like, I understand the competitive nature of these online games and such.
It's not the competitive nature part of it.
I understand
idiocy.
That.
It's that part.
But it's just it's idiocy. It just and it, I guess it exposes your deep inner core. Yes?
No.
For most of those people that use those words?
No.
Well, I think for like the kids, it's just like the most jarring, hateful thing they word that they could possibly think of.
Yeah, and that's like, there's...
Right?
Here's the thing. I know people
it's
that were
stupidity.
Like this, that were I'm like, dog, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, kind of stuff. Like, and I just kind of like, are you kidding me? And those people are also like fully functional adults now that just like... And I'm not excusing it in any way, shape, matter, or form, but it was one of, like, it was a socially acceptable norm to, like, it was, like, it wasn't to be racist. It was to be, how far can I go? Like what are the, what's, like, the worst thing I could say to somebody,
Yeah, and even when, look, I'm 48, and all those times they'd be like, hey, look at this, you little bee. We weren't calling anybody the N-word.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, there's...
And we'd be like, oh, hey, guess what? Leroy Jenkins!
There's this desire to be, like, the edgiest. And this is, like, where you get, like...
That's not edgy, though. That's just being a
D-hole. I'm not arguing
hateful,
that.
But they don't know that.
That's exactly. That's the thing is, they don't realize... Like,
and it doesn't excuse it.
No!
Well, I guess that comes back to a parental issue, because they should know that that's being a D-hole.
Again, this is 20-plus years ago. But, yeah, no, it's... And it's, the thing is, it hasn't really changed.
Oh.
Now,
well,
which is not great either.
You'll get banned for it, or you get tossed out, or you know whatever those things happen. But like people will do it, and it goes across all bounds. I've heard women say wild out of pocket stuff, and I was like, yo, what was that?
Fair, sometimes the women will say the most horrific stuff, but it's not. As offensive as the things that us white men will say. Is that fair to say? Like, they'll call each other some horrific names, but, you know, especially if they're coming from the that certain aisle just west of Europe and such.
Mm.
That C word and, you know.
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
They love the C word over there.
Look, and I'll tell you, you get... Here's the crazy thing. You'll get in lobbies and you'll get people from all over the world and you will hear stuff from Brazil and Russia and it is wild.
I just watched a new Liam Neeson film the other night.
Danny would be playing in the Russian Call of Duty rooms. Like, you would find your way into, like, the Russian and North Korean rooms.
Dog, you just hear, like, you hear these foreign accents. You're like, I know where that's from. Like... You know, they'll use VPNs to get in and stuff like that. It's yeah.
Yeah.
I do the thing, like, so you can have party chat on, like, you can have your own private party. And even if I'm not playing with anybody, I will literally just go in and start my own party so I don't hear the game chat.
I'm sure you start your own party all the time.
I do.
Yeah.
Party all the time.
Little Danny just party, like a little Murphy. Private Danny party.
Party all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, like this texture, Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. Just Myers Leonard, this is like he had no, he did not know what the word meant, and that's on him.
Yeah.
But it was just like he yelled it. Yeah. And it's a hateful word because it's like a bad word that he had heard before.
He was trying to be a jerk.
Doesn't excuse it, and
hateful.
It didn't excuse it at all at the time. But that is like the mentality of you, for whatever reason, when they're playing games, they just yell the worst word ever when you get shot.
Yeah, no, and I mean, to be honest, you'll
Nazi.
No, the other N word.
Oh,
I've so many times I've heard, you know, because you get the kill cam that pops on. You get, basically, it's like a hot mic for like 3 seconds. You'll kill somebody, and you'll hear somebody yell, and you're like, "Whoa! Oh, what are we doing here?"
Yeah.
Well,
look, here's I'm gonna sound incredibly. I'm going to piss off some people, both on the text line and the YouTube chat. And this is going to sound incredibly woke. If you are that comfortable throwing it out on a YouTube chat or a game chat or on the text line or what have you, then you are very comfortable using it in everyday life. And either way, not cool.
I don't think that's woke.
I also don't think it's entirely true.
I didn't say it is woke. I said I'll get called woke.
Because a lot of these people, the reason they do it there is because they have the anonymity. And they don't. And,
that's it right there. Yeah. That's it right there.
But yeah, and they use it because it's most likely a part of their everyday vocabulary.
But I avoid all of that by just going into my own little party, my own little world. And I'll just sit there and just try to mindlessly
fall out. That's why I sit and we play Mario Kart on the Nintendo Switch with my 12-year-old and 8-year-old.
Mm. Always reliable. Fun one I saw the other day. There was at a bar. They had like a big Mario Kart set up.
Oh, sweet.
And like the whole bar was playing it, right?
Probably all talking ass, too.
Well, they were, but they also had a live band that was playing like the race music.
Ooh, that's cool.
So it's like a jazz. It's like a jazz.
Yeah. It's soundtrack. Like a live symphony along, like watching if you go like to the Schnitz and watch a movie and you got the live symphony.
Yeah. But it was like that. But so they were like playing the songs for all the different tracks. And it was like, Rainbow Road and all the other like iconic ones. I was like, that's kind of a dope idea. Yeah. Like,
bah, 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 bah.
That's the kind of thing where you think about like winning, if you win the lottery and you win $1 billion or whatever, like what's like the cool, very unique thing you would do? Like, I'm going to open up a Mario Kart bar.
I would hire Hans Zimmer to come to my home and lead the orchestra for the video games that I play.
Exactly. I want you to write the soundtrack to my life.
Yeah. I'm going to go on Disney Plus and I'm going to watch, I don't know, Thor. And have you do the score from that in my house. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's like, but it's not even a good movie. It's like, I don't care.
Well, which Thor movie?
Play the music.
Which Thor movie?
No, I'm talking about the first one. Like, I'm not even talking about like a good movie.
You know.
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, how ridiculous would it be like if you had all the money in the world?
Because there's different grades there.
Yes, 100, that's what I'm saying. Like, I want it to be like so on point. Like, just like not even a good Marvel Universe movie. You did the soundtrack for this.
I'm gonna do it before he goes because we're losing some of the great voices of our generation. I'm just hiring Morgan Freeman just to follow me around and narrate my day.
Yeah, there we go.
Like, if I had FU money, I would do that for a day. I would do that. Just be like, whatever I did, the mundane stuff, and just have it videoed of Morgan Freeman.
Just look as Mr. Hera drives south on Cornelius Pass Road to go onto Highway 26 to go into work.
That was very terrible.
That was terrible.
Effort at Morgan Freeman, but
it was terrible.
I think. Okay.
Hey, we got the joke.
We got the joke. It made me laugh one way or another. Russ.
See, that sounded more like Logan.
There we go.
It sounded more like Logan Freeman.
Yeah. All right, let's get this show on the road. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have Story Time with Uncle Jerry. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks, will join us. Wisconsin, a trip to Madison coming up this week for the Ducks. They are the number one ranked team in the country.
They are the one ranked team.
They are the one ranked team in the country. And so we'll have Story Time with Uncle Jerry coming up at the top of the hour. And where we got to start this bad boy off, though, that was a hell of a night to be a Blazer fan last night. They are few and far between. But that, hey, that was fun. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun night to be a Blazer fan. It really was.
It was a great night. You know, you wonder about the bounce back, right? You know, coming out of practice, kind of looking at where everything was, and
coach calls you a loser.
Yeah, and they had a kind of a
I mean, if you slept well.
I mean, that's why I was so tired, Dusty.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think he was talking directly to you, Danny.
You don't think so?
You're a loser.
I don't think so.
You're a loser.
I mean, that wasn't a response to my question.
Yeah.
So, there's that. But no. So, you know, I get there like I always do, get there early. And the first thing that I want, I'm just, let's check the vibes. Let's check the vibes. All right. So, see a couple guys and they're coming in, talk to a few guys in the court, talk to a few of the execs, talk to a few of the coaches. Do pregame with Chauncey. Chauncey seemed to have a little juice to him. Okay. Get in the locker room pregame. Talk to Rob. And Rob was so elated and joyful and just on cloud nine about being back in general. And we talked about how comfortable he looked in Minnesota, like landing on one leg, and how he was like, man, it was so good. Like, I didn't even think about it. He was like, it's like, it was such an unbelievable, like, you could tell, like, there's this joy and this release and this comfort. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, he's definitely not uptight. He's not worried about really, like, tonight. It seems like he's pretty focused and ready to go. Talk to Denny. Denny was brutally hard on himself. He's like, nobody's harder on himself than me. He goes, but I'm not worried about this. I'm not pointing any fingers in here. Like, my problem so far this year has been me, you know? And you're just like, okay, that's interesting. And then you just kind of feel the juice, you know what I mean, in the locker room. And there was nothing there that was, like, made you think that, you know, this could go bad. And I thought that was really interesting because I did kind of an informal survey among players after practice Monday. And then again, kind of before the game. Like, do you guys understand or do you guys think that if something goes bad here that, you know, Chauncey could get fired? And it didn't even, like, most of them didn't even realize it. Like, that was a potential option to give you an idea of how insulated they are from this stuff, right? And they come out last night, and it wasn't just ball going hoop. They played hard.
And this They played hard on both ends of the floor. I think that was the part that, for Blazer fans, was watching a team on both ends of the floor play a complete game. When is the last time we saw that?
I think they've played hard
No. That's not what I'm saying. A complete game for 48 minutes on both ends of the floor.
The complete, because the effort and intensity and execution turned into production. That's the first time this season.
I think it's the first time, probably in two seasons. No, maybe even more.
They had a couple games last season where you're like, that was pretty damn good. But no, to your point, yes. The fact that we have to like genuinely think about it, that's the thing. It's like. And again, a lot of that is the 18 of 32 from three. I mean, that's they had the Blazers now bookend the NBA this season with the worst and best 3-point shooting nights in the NBA. That's kind of an insane thing to think about, and they happen in back-to-back games.
Yeah, I think if you look at it though, it wasn't just knocking down shots from the outside. It's 30 assists on the game. It's 64 points coming off of your bench that has had little to no pop throughout the course of the season. It's the fact that guys like Denny Advia, who has not looked comfortable either in the starting lineup and absolutely not coming off of the bench, coming out and making a couple threes, playing on both ends of the floor like the guy that everybody was saying, hey, this is a big pickup for Portland when he came out of Washington, because he did play like what we saw last night far more often than he did at any point that we've seen as a Portland Trailblazer. What Robert Williams III, we finally get to see him. And you mentioned his vibes check and just the fact that he got to play both ends of a back, or he got to play on the front of that back-to-back, and now he has the opportunity to potentially play on both ends of a back-to-back, right? Like,
he's going to try to push. He said it in the
post-game. That is fun to hear, and that's good to see from Robert Williams III in that, look, I don't know the last time he has done that. If I'm Portland, I don't know if I want to play him on both ends of a back-to-back.
And to be honest, I expect Minnesota to come out and absolutely hammer Portland tonight. Anthony Edwards was disgustingly bad last night. They did not want to be there, and you could see Chris Finch was kind of pouty about it and challenging that call in the final seconds and just like, come on, man, let's keep this moving. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's the NBA Cup. I'm like, no, it's not. He's being petty because his team just got throttled. That's what this is.
And look, that may be the most fun part about last night, right? And I thought a guy who's getting overshadowed a little bit based on the fact that you get 64 points from the bench. Robert Williams III has his ability just
to do everything.
We all forget how quick he can get up off the floor too. Like, that was kind of what made him special. And yeah, doing everything. Scoot Henderson with the layup coming up and under in an acrobatic, like, ooh, that's the guy that Portland drafted. Jeremy Grant coming out early and making his presence felt. Donovan Klingon getting his first career start. Like, all of those things happening, it kind of outshined the fact that Tumani Kamara was all over the floor.
He was incredibly good last night.
He was incredible.
Took
14
two charges,
points,
knocked down
four
threes.
Rebounds, three assists, two steals. As you said, taking some charges, looking comfortable behind the arc. Where
like 38 minutes.
Last year, Tumani Kamara used to just go and hide in the corner when he was on the floor and not wanting the ball. Like, just sitting there and just hiding in the corner. He took threes. He looked good. I mean, and look, last night was an aberration. I'm okay with it. I don't care if people hate it because it goes against the tank. Whatever. We know this team.
Yeah,
they're going to lose plenty of games here.
Yeah.
Having a game like that was actually fun to watch as a fan that has just been kind of beat over the head, especially with what happened against Memphis on Sunday night.
Yeah, and I think a big part of this is, people got mad at me for saying this, and they'll, you're a Chauncey defender. It's like, no, you want to talk about how Chauncey Billups was solely responsible for how bad they played and not having them ready against Memphis, blah, 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 blah. If that's the case, it's not. But if that's the case in your brain, it shouldn't be. Then Chauncey Billups deserves all the credit for having one of the best performances they've had.
I mean, the way that he called them out publicly,
they needed it.
We talked about this. It can go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it went the right way. It's not going to be something that we're going to hear from Chauncey Billups all the time, because you know what? At some point, they're going to be like, you know what? F you then.
Yeah.
Right? But
when you call a spade, you know, they couldn't turn on the film and argue with him.
To your point of they've played hard for him up to this point, that has been true.
Mm-hmm.
He called them out when they didn't, and they responded in kind.
Yep.
And that is a sign of a team that respects the coach and still he has not buy-in. Lost. Yeah. He has not lost the locker room, mm-hmm. and now anybody can still have their opinions on whether he's the guy moving forward or whatever.
Which we all know he's not going to end up being. And then it's entirely fine.
And there's nobody that you're going to bring in during the season that mm-hmm. is going to be some sort of, to use a Neil O'Shea word, a panacea
yes.
for the ills that plague the Portland Trailblazers. You're not going to have that guy. It's not Nate Bjorkgren on the bench right now. It's not anybody else that's an assistant coach. You're not going to hire somebody off the street. Look how well that's worked out for the Milwaukee Bucks and Doc Rivers mm-hmm. with Doc Rivers, right? I mean, that's just not going to happen. So as long as Chauncey still has control of that locker room, that guy is going to be the coach of the Portland Trailblazers. And look, they came out, they played hard last night. And I think the bigger concern, though, is, you know, the one downside of it is Anthony Simons went down, a chest injury.
Yeah, it was definitely scary. It turns out he was having some trouble breathing. Chauncey Billups mentioned in the post game that he went through some scans and some tests and he cleared okay, and they're going to do it again today. I would venture a guess he probably doesn't play today, just to be safe and kind of check and make sure where things are at. We haven't gotten an update yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. Same thing with DeAndre Ayton, who's dealing with a finger injury. You know, with Ant, I've already seen people in the text line, they're better, they're tougher and better defensively without Ant. It's like, no, they came out of the game tough and defensively minded in the first five yeah. minutes of the game. It had nothing to do with Ant going out. They all bought into what was going on. If you want to talk about stylistically what changed for the team, and I think this is where you give the credit to how great Robert Williams III is. Rob is not Nikola Jokic. He is not the guy you run your offense through. But he is a basketball savant, particularly on the defensive end, and he understands spacing and negative space. And by negative space, I mean like not occupying space so that somebody else can fill it. And DeAndre Ayton doesn't have that feel. And it's not like a shot at him. It's just, I mean, to be fair, most people do not have the feel that Robert Williams III has. And so you see him offensively work as a screener, as a natural DHO partner. Like he has that innate feel and playmaking feel to kind of keep things going, move the ball side to side. When he rolls hard. Like if DeAndre Ayton wants to maximize what he can be and his teammates, if somebody could give me the magic wand to give him one thing, it's not being a better screen setter. It's not shooting threes. It's not being more focused. Just roll hard. Because there was a play last night. Denny Avdia drove to the lane, hit his that deceleration euro, drew the foul. Rob goes over and kind of grabs him by the chest, and it wasn't like a negative thing. He was like, "Hey, look," points up, like, "Look for me, dog. Look for me." Next play down, Denny, cross, wait, lob. Rob just dives to the rim, catches it, throws it down, gets absolutely smacked across the face. Screw you, Tony Brothers. Good God, how do you miss that? But you could just see it. You could just see the gravity of the role that Rob created and the bind that it put the defense in. And it was yep. like, that's it. That's it right there. And I think that was such a huge part of last night. And everyone was making their cuts. There wasn't, I think the only player that played quote unquote soft at any period of time was Shaedon Sharpe in the first like 5-7 minutes. He got Mike Conley on switches or in transition a couple different times. And he just kind of looked at it. And I'm like, Shaedon, that's 38-year-old Mike Conley. Get your butt in there. And he drove on him once, and Ant Edwards just came over the top and smacked it off the rim because he went up soft. And it was like, I don't know what happened. Well, I kind of know what happened. A timeout happened, and Chauncey Billups chewed his butt and said, "We need you to be forceful." And then the rest of the game, got downhill, got aggressive. He wasn't settling for you know, late second off-the-dribble jumpers. He played with force, attacked the rim over and over and over again. You saw him get out defensively and be disruptive. It's like, there you go. There you go. And I think like it was trickle down emotion from the team. And I think it started with how they started that game. They not only did they score first, Dusty, for the seemingly feels like the first time, the first shot they hit was a three. And it was collective sigh.
And it's a lot better feeling than missing your first 10 shots as they did against the Timberwolves the last time they played him. Just last week. Blazers win 122-108 in the process. Robert Williams III He became the first bench player with at least 15 points, 3 steals, 3 block shots on 90% field goal percentage since James Worthy in 1983.
Oh, I mean, Rob's stat lines the last couple games have been insane.
He went 19-9-3-3.
I will say that
that's pretty good.
The first sports poster I ever had in my entire life, as a
Robert
lifelong
Williams III?
No, yes, as
just bought it yesterday.
Damn it! Even as a lifelong Blazers fan, it was L.A. Law, James Worthy.
Yeah. All right, Blazers get a win. They are back at it tonight, though. Minnesota Timberwolves gonna be out for blood. Just appreciate what you saw last night because it may not last very long, and I don't know. They're 4-8 on the year. Don't worry.
It's
everything's
fine.
Going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. All right. Well, that was a fun game. That was a fun night. We got the college football playoff. They speak again yesterday. And now people are all hot and bothered. And I don't really blame a little bit of the outrage that's coming towards the committee. Next on The Fan. The college football playoff committee speaks once again. This time, there is 4 of the top 5 in college football residing in the Big Ten. The top 5 goes Oregon 1, Ohio State 2. Those two have not changed. Here's where the big changes come. Texas and Penn State both jump up 2 spots in the top 25. That is because Miami and Georgia both lost over the weekend, taking a tumble. And then Indiana moves up 3 spots. Them and BYU, the big movers, up 3 spots to 5 for the Hoosiers and 6 for BYU. For those counting at home, that is 4 of the top 5 in the Big Ten Conference, with the number 3 team in the country being the SEC's Texas Longhorns at 8-1.
We talked about this yesterday, the new world of college football, as it were, where the top of the Big Ten is occupying the top of the CFP right now. Now, that will sort itself out as Indiana and Ohio State play each other this week.
Next week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ohio State's got a big tilt with Northwestern.
Yeah.
Big
But it's kind of funny. The SEC has cannibalized.
Is that the horseshoe
itself,
or right on the banks of the Lake Michigan there?
I believe that's at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wow, they managed to make that matchup worse.
Yeah. It's a little different.
I mean, in all honesty, though, that game, is that being played at Wrigley? I think, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is at Wrigley. Because Northwestern can only hold, like, I don't know, like 15,000 people.
Small.
For their big games, they are playing them at Wrigley because that's how you sell tickets, right?
I mean, yeah. But I will say that the look of their quote-unquote, air quotes, homes field.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
It is badass being right on the lake, but you don't get much revenue coming off.
No,
of it.
I guess you don't, do you?
Yep. Okay, you were saying, sorry, Danny.
Yeah, no, it's fine. The SEC has become reminiscent of the Pac-12 of the last couple of years of cannibalizing itself. And, you know, for the first time, and I think this is we've talked about this so much, the flattening of college football at the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's Ole Miss jumping up and biting Georgia because Georgia doesn't have the depth and the scorers on the outside that they've had in the past with you know, the ability to replace them year after year after year after year. It's like, no, you lose Ladd McConkey and you lose Brock Bowers. And guess what? You aren't able to go, hey, here's 2 top NFL draft picks.
Well, at their skills, their offensive line's been a mess, too. I mean, they lost Mims to the NFL draft. He's a first-round draft pick as an offensive lineman.
Yep. And you've got Tate Rutledge, who's probably the best guard in college football, but he's been hurt. And, like, you just, like, they don't have the Oregon-Georgia game from 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now, that doesn't happen anymore, where you look and you're like, Dwayne Washington, the 6'8", 280-pound freak of a human, is their third tight end. Like, that's just not college football anymore because of the way that NIL and the transfer portal have kind of proliferated out. And so teams like Ole Miss, like Georgia, like Alabama, like Tennessee, Texas now, because they brought in Texas, and that's another dude in the barn, as it will, you're just, even if you try to protect yourself in your SEC matchups and you have your soft non-conference schedule, you can get got. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hell, Vanderbilt, like they went up and nipped one down. You know, it's like, that's how this goes. And I think it's really interesting is that there's going to be even more turmoil in this group, whether Indiana or Ohio State. You're going to see some topsy-turviness. I'm a little irritated that Boise State, because they have a close game with Nevada, falls down. Because, you know, how many other teams in here had close games and fell? Indiana has a close game with Michigan and goes up, what, three spots?
Yeah, I think that, though, with Boise State, I kind of understand that because two teams that were behind them had emphatic wins, right? The Ole Miss win over Georgia. And if you're the College Football Playoff Committee and you watch Georgia and you watch Boise State, are you the eye test, will that tell you that
for sure
Georgia is worse than Boise State? No. And then
I still
Ole Miss,
look at Notre Dame as the polar bear in Texas.
Yeah. Ole Miss beat that Georgia team. And then Alabama emphatically dismantled LSU. Mm. I get why they jumped. And also, I think that the committee is also kind of signaling, all right,
we are going to
have Boise up there, but they're still giving the ACC their pathway to having that first round bye, because Miami only dropped to 9. They dropped 5 spots after a loss to Georgia Tech. And who's right behind Boise State? It's SMU. So they're going to have a justification if Miami and SMU both take care of their business the rest of the way, that the winner of that game will get the bump over Boise State. Now, they both have to take care of their business the rest of the way. That's going to be the harder part for both of those teams. But they're saying, no, the Power Four conferences, the pathway to a first-round bye for all four of the Power conferences is still in play. I think that cannibalization that you're talking about with the SEC, that's an interesting one, though, because the Big Ten, though, just the way that the schedule's worked itself out, you know, you don't have all of those crossovers. And Texas is the one team with the SEC that I think if you look at all of those teams in at the top, they are the one where the resume doesn't stack up, but the eye test sure as hell does, right? Texas's eye test tells you, yeah, no, they are that damn good. To take the Georgia game out of it, which if you think about it, right, look at Texas's schedule right now. I mean, what is the best win that Texas has right now? Is it Colorado State?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
And is it Vanderbilt?
And I think this is the same. And like Oregon has this distinct advantage of playing and beating Ohio State and be like, that's the best win on their schedule. And I heard some people already in the SEC the other day come like, well, Oregon's schedule. And I'm like, guys, you know it when you see it. And I think it's the same thing, well, but to a significantly lesser extent with Texas because they haven't played anybody.
I mean, Oregon right now has the best win in college football. And
yeah,
it was
one over two. Yeah,
it was a 1-point game. It was at home, and that's why Ohio State, the metrics will tell you, Ohio State, okay, they are in at 2. Mm-hmm. Penn State loses at home to that Ohio State team. They're the team that is, you know, two spots behind Ohio State. That's why the metrics and the eye test thing, it's always like, hey, how's the committee going to see all of these teams? Well, that's how they're seeing Texas right now, is they get the eye test bump up because they do look like they are a really damn good team. And we know they're a really good team. And they have one loss to a top 15 team in the country, and so they're sitting there at number 3. I again go to all of this is going to sort itself out, and anything between now and that final ranking is just posturing for the committee to seat it the way that makes the most sense, right? Because at the end of the SEC, what they're looking at with the SEC, they're staring down the barrel of their doomsday scenario, where what happens this week if Georgia beats Tennessee? Okay.
Yeah.
What if the final week of the year, Texas A&M beats Texas?
And knocks them and gives them that second loss. Yeah.
Gives them their second loss. Mm-hmm. That would mean, Okay. Just so everybody's following along right now.
Get everybody two losses. Right?
If Texas A&M beats Texas at the end of the year, and they do end up beating New Mexico State this week and then Auburn the next week, okay? Well, okay, let's add this to the doomsday scenario. Say A&M loses to Auburn on the road, okay, which I don't think will happen at this point because Auburn looks like a team that has quit. A&M loses to Auburn, then beats Texas. You would have a two-loss in conference play. Two-loss Tennessee, two-loss A&M, two-loss Texas, two-loss Georgia if they went out, two-loss Ole Miss if they went out, two-loss Alabama if they went out, two-loss Missouri if they went out, two-loss LSU if they went out. Tell me how you go through those tiebreakers, right? That is the doomsday. It may even be worse for the committee if A&M beats Auburn and then beats Texas, because they would only have one conference loss. They'd be the top seed in the SEC championship game. Because at that point, they would be 7-1 in conference play. And then you have to say, all right, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, LSU, all of you guys, we're going to a tiebreaker scenario to see who gets to play the Aggies, which, by the way, you say the aberration in the top 10 is Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
What did Notre Dame do at the beginning of the year?
Who'd they beat?
Beat Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Texas A&M on the road.
Lost to Northern Illinois?
Lost to Northern Illinois at home, right? But the committee could sit there and be like, hey, the regular season SEC champ,
that's their way of bolstering Notre Dame.
Notre Dame went on the road and beat them.
Well, no, this is a discussion that Danny and I had yesterday, and when the SEC manages to cannibalize itself, it's because they're so deep. But when the Pac-12 used to cannibalize itself, it's because it was a weak conference.
Yeah.
How do we square that?
I mean, this year, now you look at it and you say, this is what the Big Ten and the SEC are up against, is that there's no way you can have all of your best teams play each other every single year. You can't have it because the conferences are too big. I mean, there's no divisions. So you don't just say, hey, you win your division, you get in. It is the hardest thing in the world. And the SEC, the Big Ten and the SEC are the two best conferences in college football. The Big Ten or Big 12 is not. The Big 12 is not one of the best conferences in college football. I mean, it just isn't.
The Big 12 right now is not even what the Pac 12 was supposed to be like last year and the last few years. It's not.
I think if you go back a few years, I think then you'll be like, it's very reminiscent where it's like, is anybody dominant?
Yeah, because we used to be at a power really five teams thing, but I think that honestly right now we're honestly at a power two.
Yeah, and the rankings reflect that. And at the end of the day, all of this is going to sort itself out throughout the regular season. But the SEC that's going to be a conundrum for the playoff committee. Because then, at that point, say, you know, SMU goes ahead and they win the ACC, right? And that's, you have a two-loss Miami team who lost to Georgia Tech one game in the regular season. And then they lose their conference championship game to SMU. Does the playoff committee have the cojones to leave out a three-loss SEC runner-up for a two-loss Miami team?
God.
Because a group of five will get in.
Is the college football playoff actually good?
I think for a two-loss Miami.
I think it's great. I'm an agent of chaos. I think this is all phenomenal.
No, it is all phenomenal. And no, I think there's a lot of room for a three-loss SEC team to make it in over a two-loss Miami team.
But because of Miami's
schedule and the way that they played.
All right. Let me one-up you on this here. What if that three-loss SEC runner-up is Texas A&M?
Well, it's not Jimbo, so it makes me hate them a little bit less.
Do
you look at that team and think that they're that good?
That is a team right now that the committee says is the 15th best team in the country right now.
Yeah, I don't.
I still think, and I know we had this conversation a few weeks ago. I still think there is room for a team like a Boise State to get into one of those top four seeds and get a bye.
Absolutely.
Over the Big 12 or ACC champion.
Ooh. All right, let's talk about that coming up next. We'll have to have a quick little turn and burn there, but Boise State, where they're positioned at 13. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, real quick here, wrapping up the college football playoff rankings before Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks, sits down with the story time with Uncle Jerry coming up here in a little bit. Boise State was brought up. Do they have a pathway to a first round bye? I think the way the committee is leaning right now, it's looking like they're just setting up for it to really be the Power Four all getting those byes. Miami's at 9, SMU right behind, Boise at 14, and Kansas State and Colorado go 16-17. If everybody wraps up their season with wins, right, think of how it'll be if everybody ahead of Boise continues to win and the teams directly behind them all win. Because in this scenario, Texas A&M would have a loss to Texas. So directly behind Boise would be SMU from the ACC, Kansas State from the Big 12, Colorado from the Big 12. They are setting those schools up to have a win more quality than anything that Boise State can have the remainder of their season. Because Boise's schedule just won't... It's not conducive to getting a marquee victory really at any point this season.
No.
They'll have no top 25 wins.
No, they're counting on, to me, it's that Big 12 bid. And if BYU falters, they've got Kansas, Arizona State, Houston. There's a landmine there. You know, Arizona State can be a team. It's at Arizona State, which stuff gets weird there. Dillingham's gotten them playing well.
They're flirting with disaster, too, this BYU team is.
They are. And let's be honest, they probably should have lost to Utah. That's fine. They're a good team, but that to me is the door that opens here. And it's interesting. We've spent the last couple weeks not talking about Colorado.
Colorado's good, man.
And the interesting thing is Deion Sanders has basically just shut up.
And yes.
It's been really, really interesting that the dynamic of, like, the better they've gotten, the quieter he has got.
He did talk about getting tortillas thrown at him, though. And it was relentless. Did you guys hear about it?
I didn't see it come across my feed at all.
I'll have to send Russ the audio. Maybe we'll play it a little bit later in the show. Deion talked about the tortillas being thrown at him after the game. Just the relentless tortillas and water bottles get thrown, too. People don't talk about the water bottles enough. Mm. But you had Travis Hunter shove a tortilla down his pants, and then Shedeur Sanders was signing tortillas and giving them to people. It was an experience to behold, but Colorado is playing well. And look, I've said this all along. I want a disruptor to come to college football like Deion has, right? But it was just the BS that you're talking about, that it was just like, you can't pull for it anymore, right? It was just too much. He was complaining about all of the wrong things, and it didn't stop. Well, now he is not saying as much, and they're winning games, and they are fun to watch, man. They are fun to watch. They can't run the ball a lick, but they can whip the ball all over the field. Travis Hunter is incredible.
Yep.
He's playing 170 snaps. I mean, it's
bonker
nuts.
Stuff. Like, it truly is. But let's say BYU drops.
Yeah.
Vancouver 4 text line, Colorado has no good wins.
Colorado doesn't have any good wins.
And so,
no. But you know what? Here's the thing. The Big 12 championship game winner will have a good win.
Yep.
Against whoever they play. And right now, Boise State will either be playing an unranked Colorado State that got beat 52-0 by Texas or UNLV again. Neither one of those games will justify Boise State jumping the winner of the Big 12 championship game. Which that, is, and that's the thing.
And this is why we did the 12-team playoff matters.
Yeah.
Is because in the past, Boise would have gotten screwed.
Yeah.
They would have had zero chance. There's like the whole point for me of the 12-team playoff, and if they get this wrong, I'm going to be so viscerally pissed off. Give the teams that you know have the juice
yep.
a chance. Does anyone actually think that Boise State on a neutral site can't hang with just about anybody in the country? Again, I'm not saying that they're going to win, but can they hang with just about anybody in the country?
I think they can, but you know, they saw Oregon really early in the year.
Sure.
And this attrition catches up with everybody. If they are healthy, yeah, absolutely.
And then,
absolutely.
And to that point, there will be no bigger story in college football than if insert Boise State, Louisville, like whatever team that, like, you know, I'm talking about the Lamar Jackson Louisville teams. Like when a college football outsider, an underdog with either the ragtag bunch of, you know, Jared Zabransky and that Boise State team, or the Heisman Trophy power of Ashton Gentry or Lamar Jackson, when one of those teams, because it's going to happen, when one of those teams inevitably get in the college football playoff and make that run, there will be no bigger tidal wave of support than that team.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, coming up next, we got story time with Uncle Jerry. Jerry Allen, voice of the Ducks. He joins us up here. I am down at Autzen Stadium. Hour number two next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.